This is Daniel Griggs. Thank you for tuning into The Inspire Daily Grind, where we talk about everything entrepreneurship. But we don't focus on just the success, but rather the grind, the hustle, and effort and will to succeed, to bring your visions to life and make your dreams a reality. This is Daniel Griggs. Thanks for tuning into The Inspire Daily Grind. Look, you know I like to always do my beginning of the podcast rant. And what I want to talk about really quick for like 30 seconds is quality work. I hear so many people nowadays talking about they put in the 12 to 14, 16, 18 hour days, but we got to talk about quality work. A lot of people are just saying that and don't get me wrong, thanks for listening to my podcast, but at the same time, you got to schedule out time for that. You just can't say you're reading books or looking at videos or listening to podcasts and getting built full of motivation, but you're not doing anything to grow your business. That's what it's all about. Every single thing when it comes down to business is about sales. And if you're not out doing something to gain more sales, if that's not your top priority, then you're losing. You don't even realize it, but you are. That's my rant for the beginning of the show. This is the Inspire Daily Grind. We have a guest today, our first guest of 2018. I'm going to read the bio real quick, then we're going to get him on. Prish is the founder of NPCR, Nurse Practitioner Clinical Rotations. He believes in two fundamental truths. The first is everything is a learnable skill, and the second is a real leadership involves caring for others. Chris's mission is to better support underserved communities, and with his second startup, he and his team are serving nurse practitioners and empowering universities so NP students have more support to graduate on time. Since 2013, Chris has grown two separate businesses in healthcare education by focusing on relationship development. He's also contributed to major publications such as Forbes, Fast Company, and Inc., and has been featured in a dozen more. You can find Chris roaming the streets in Atlanta and on social media. Chris, how's it going today?
It's going well, boss. It's going well. How are you?
Oh, man, doing great. Doing great. Busy, but a good busy. You know, I always tell my team, especially on when Mondays come during the week, the first half of the week, I always say we got to put out fires, but we're dragon slayers because the fire is coming from a dragon, man. And we got to be dragon slayers. So that's just how
right,
it is.
Man, I like that. I like that you use that line.
Yeah, man. Look, I mean, from reading your bio, one of the things that I really like when I was reading it, and we'll get into it here in the podcast, is focusing on relationship development. Like, I really love that. I literally told my team at the beginning of the year that this year we're probably going to be doing less projects, but we're going to be building more relationships. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about really quick, I want to talk about it now since we're already on it. Then we'll get into more exactly about you. When you say focus on relationship development, what does that mean to you or for you?
That means the best I can summarize it is going an inch wide, but a mile deep. A mile wide and an inch deep, right? Like having these surface level relationships, whether it's with customers or vendors or clients that you can't really call on, aren't relationships you can foster, right? But when you have a mile deep relationship, you can ask your customer candidly what else they're working on to see if you can have the opportunity for more business. Going back to sales, like you were talking about a few minutes ago, you can, you know, talk to your customers about how you can iterate and how you can come up with your next version, because they're not just using your service, but they actually want you to be successful.
Yeah.
And those relationships allow you to, one, be more fulfilled with the work that you do, but two, man, to just, like, it's like you're winning the game of life. You make more money, you have more sales, you have better quality relationships with people, and you can apply that to every aspect of your life.
Yeah, and I completely agree, especially, I mean, really understanding your customers or your clients. And, I mean, with our agency, I explain to my team, like, at least every month I talk about it, like, we have these startups that will come and contact us. And I say, look, the reason I put so much into these startups and other clients as well is because they are banking a ton on the service that we provide. It's not just like, hey, someone paying you money to do a job. Like, you got to really understand, you build a relationship with them to understand their perspective and the things they're doing. So I love that, especially when you really pointed out about focused on relationship development. So Chris, if you can general, specific, however much you want to be, who you are and what your company or companies do.
I'm happy to get as specific, man. Open book all the way. I like to say, like, my entrepreneurial life started right around 23. I graduated college. I was actually working for a Fortune 15 company in their leadership development program in sales. And I was doing well. And we were actually I was having a good year. You know, I was like top 100 out of 1,000. But the truth is I was completely unfulfilled at the work I was doing. I was the definition, and I know people hate it when I say it, but I was underworked and overpaid, and I hated it. And there's no, like, I didn't create any value for anyone I worked with. I had a handful of clients. I had probably 300 clients, but a handful of ones I actually liked to talk to. And yeah, it all came down to trying to understand the person I wanted to be in 5 years and 10 years from that, at that point, right? So at 28 and 32, 33. So what I did was I was working with my mentor at the time, and he was just pushing me to read more, to kind of challenge the status quo and to think differently and to relearn a lot of things, right? And as entrepreneurs, you have to do that. You have to get comfortable being uncomfortable, right? You don't know where your next paycheck is coming. You don't, you know, you have to make payroll before you pay yourself. You have to make a lot of judgment calls, and that's a very uncomfortable place to be. But you have to learn to embrace it. Basically, I quit my job. You know, it was almost a six-figure job. I was 23 years old in New York, left it, moved down to Atlanta, started a business, failed horribly in that forced business, man. 6 months in, nothing, nada, no dollar made, nothing. You talk about sales. But second business, you know, I was kind of under the gun. I had like less than $8,000 in my name, 2 months, 3 months worth of expenses. And, you know, started a new company. It gained some traction. It was similar to what I'm doing now, but helping international medical students. So did that for a little bit. And then that was very much a good first business to start. Made some decent money, learned how to run a business, but didn't have the same passion. That passion came in when I started finding these nurse practitioner students. And it came from what I was trying to convey in that bio, which is helping an underserved community. And when I realized that these students don't have support that they should have, and that my team is in a unique position to provide this to them, it's a no-brainer. Like it's our compulsion that we have to do this.
Yeah.
We have to carry it forward. And I've been doing this for, I think we grew something from 20 students in April of 2017, so about like 9 months ago, to 300 students in October or November. So I over 10x. We're coming up with an app that should launch halfway through the year. It should change the way this is done completely. And I'm expecting some massive growth, but I'm expecting to be able to walk away from this this service in about 2 years, saying that, wow, we changed the way it was run.
Nice. And let me ask you this, to only tracking back a little bit. When you were 23, because I mean, to say that you were 23 and you're thinking about 10 years from now, that's huge. I know for me personally, I definitely wasn't thinking about that at the age of 23. I wasn't thinking about 10 years from now. But when you quit and left your job, what was your level of confidence? Like, did you quit in confidence and was like, I can go start my own company and make this happen? Or was it like, I'm just going to take this? I mean, it's a risk, of course, but what was going through your mind?
That's a really good question. And when I say I was thinking 10 years from now or 5 years out, the trick I learned for that is when people say, hey, what do you want to do in 5 years? That's a horrible thing to ask somebody because no one knows. Like, I don't even know what I want to do in 5 years. Like, what?
I hate that question.
Ask them the type of person they want to be in 5 years. And then they'll start telling you character traits.
Yeah.
And that's how you start that. But for me, man, I was a salesman. Back in the day, I'm still a salesman to this day. You know, I'm a business development guy, relationship guy. I was super cocky. I was like, I'm 23. You know what? People say it's going to take a long time. It'll be okay. I'll be set by 25. I'll make my first half mil, first mil by 26, 27. Be good to go. And that was, came crashing down. that confidence went to the exact opposite of that spectrum, within 3 months.
Piece of reality hit quitting. With it.
Reality hit, and I'm like, I have nobody telling me what to do. What do I do in the morning?
Yeah, I know you mentioned you had a mentor. How did you find your mentor? Was it someone that you knew? How did you get a mentor?
Great question. So honestly, like, I think people overthink it. A mentor is anyone you can learn from. My age that are mentors. I have people younger than me that I learn from. This mentor in particular, I met him at a Michigan bar. I went to the University of Michigan. I'd moved down to Atlanta and just kind of met him watching a football game. Started talking, you know, just about some basic things. And then eventually it escalated into, oh, well, you invest. I don't know anything about investing. I'm 22 years old. Tell me everything.
Yeah.
You know, and you ask a lot of questions and you stay engaged. And when they fall off, you call them and be like, hey, you can't disappear. I need to talk to you.
I understand you on that one. I'm huge on mentors and I firmly believe in it. Mine kind of came like it was out of nowhere as well. I didn't go searching for one. I was actually doing personal training at the time and I was training his son and he offered to me, it was like, hey, I'll help you build up your business and, you know, we'll barter with it. And I was like, all right, cool. At the moment, I actually needed the cash more than I needed his mentorship, like for that moment. But I was looking at it in the long term and it's crazy. He told me the same thing. He told me to start reading. And so of course, you've read because I know how to read. I'm not illiterate, but I didn't do much reading at all. And so he told me to, and that was one of the best things that, you know, I started doing. For me, the first book that I read was E-Myth Revisited. What about yourself? What's the first book you read?
Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Oh, Rich Dad Poor Dad. There
Rich
was
Dad,
a second
Poor
book
Dad.
I read. I loved it.
I tell everyone who wants to start learning to invest, entrepreneurship, anything, Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Yeah. I love that book, man. I love
what
it.
What was the
it
book
was.
You said
it was
again?
One of my best books. So, I want to do this is something a little new with our guests really quick. We're going to do a fireside. I call it the fire spitting round, right? So we're going to go through a few questions I'm going to ask you. And then it's just one or the other. You elaborate on a little bit. You got about 20 seconds to answer each. Sounds cool?
Okay. Got it. So pick one and then elaborate. Got it.
Yeah. So pen or pencil?
Pen. Who uses a pencil these days? It's all about pens.
All right, so on this one, notes on your phone or write them down with your pen?
Lately, notes on writing them down. I feel like I keep track of it better. And when I write it down and it takes me an extra couple of seconds to like jot down my thoughts, it slows my mind down so I can remember it.
That's true. I remember things a lot better when I write them down. The only thing is the only reason I put them down in my notes notes on my phone so much is because I'm always like, if I want to ever come right back to it, I don't have to like search for that piece of paper or anything. But writing down, it just does something different, man. It locks in your mind. So I agree with you on that one. So this is kind of three. You can choose more than one or you can elaborate on how you do it. Phone, text, or email?
Not email. Always phone. If I'm looking to develop a relationship with somebody,
agreed.
And because I do feel like the way millennials are moving, everyone likes a text and no one likes to be on the phone or meet in person anymore.
Yeah.
Phone calls are becoming the new face-to-face meeting. Spending 30 to 45 minutes on the phone helps you develop a relationship. But the best way to contact me for like my team or like my customers or anything like that is by text message. Cause I see it right away.
Definitely.
But emails are the worst.
And with phone calls, thing what I like about phone calls, so mine is a little text for me. I'm not too big on. I love phone calls, like you said, to establish a relationship. Once I have established a relationship with someone, the main thing that I like to do when establishing that relationship is that we understand one another. Because, you know, a lot of times, and it does in text as well, you can read something and you can create your own scenario or tone in your head based on what's in that email. Some people like to use exclamation points, the way some people like to italicize things or bold things out. So you can create these false sense of, you know, the tone someone is creating. So I definitely agree with you on phone calls, especially with establishing relationships. So next question, if you could go back and give yourself one piece of advice we'll say 5 years ago, what would it be?
Be more patient. I think oftentimes you have to just give things its course, and you have to trust the process you're following. Sometimes you need to trust people's advice who might know better than you, and you need to be more patient with other people, especially people you hire and people you're trying to train. You can't expect them to have the same gung-ho attitude that you have, because that's not fair to push your expectation on someone else. And also, people learn at different speeds and make mistakes at different speeds.
And so for me on that, when you say people learn at different speeds and you have to treat them differently, I kind of, because I come from a sports background, I always look at my team as like a sports team. And one thing from doing sports for so long is that you realize, like, every coach knows that they have to cater to each player differently because they react to things different. The way that you speak to them, the different tasks that you give them, and things like that. So when you're talking about being patient and people learning differently, I definitely completely agree. So what's your morning routine, if you have one? What's your rise and grind routine?
In theory or in reality?
Let's go ahead and go for both. Relay both of them to me.
All right. In theory, I go for my morning run, and then right around, I wake up 7:15, wake up, run, do my morning run, and then I'm by the office. I'm in the office by 8:45 after a nice, healthy breakfast. In reality, I will usually, because I tend to work late and I function better working at night, that's my kind of hardcore zone in time.
Yeah, that's your creative time.
Exactly. I'll usually be up by 7:45. And I'm in the office by 9. And the big thing in the middle is having a strong breakfast. And what I do is, because I eat keto, I don't have any carbs. I don't have any sugar. And because I eat right around 8 a.m., I don't have to eat again until 2 p.m. And I get a massive productivity from that.
Man, are you able to do that? Are you able to do that consistently?
Oh, yeah. So it's just a different type of eating. So it sources your food instead of from sugar and glucose. It sources your food from ketones, which are a different way your body can run. And because of that, you don't get hunger pangs. Like, I don't get like ravenously hungry. You know, like sometimes 12, 1 o'clock hits and you're like starving. I don't really.
Your mind automatically tells you you're hungry.
Exactly. So that's it's a pro and a con. I would say the pro in this case is that you kind of maintain your focus throughout the day and you don't get sidetracked.
It's interesting you say that, because I was just talking to a buddy of mine the other day. I never took medication or anything, right? So my focus is I don't really know how to explain it. You know, I don't like to say ADHD or anything like that. I don't think it's anything bad, but for me, one thing that I realized, and I didn't realize it until last year, which I was 30 years old at the moment. I didn't realize until I'm 30 years old that if my breakfast, like, consistently, if it's not on point and the eating that I do throughout the day, my focus is gone. Like, I cannot, I won't say I cannot, but it's extremely, extremely hard for me to focus. So for me, my morning routine, like, I eat the exact same thing Monday through Friday. I eat the exact same thing in the morning, which is oatmeal with honey and fruit in it every single morning, Monday through Friday. Because if I eat something else, it's not like I won't be satisfied or anything like that, you know, physically, but mentally I won't be the same person. So it's interesting when you're talking about the ketone or whatnot. I know you mentioned focus. Have you ever had that situation to where you didn't have your regular breakfast in the morning and maybe you ate something else and it messed up your focus?
Well, yeah. I mean, before I started eating keto, before I started this in 2017 in January, so literally a year and a month ago. Mm-hmm. Before that, I was a mess. I would eat breakfast. I wouldn't eat breakfast. There's no system behind it. And I would have like random carbs throughout. I'd be ravenously hungry again at 11 a.m., not able to concentrate. It was a mess. But to what you were saying, my breakfast, I would say, probably 2/3 of the time, if not more, is 2 eggs, half an avocado, 2 strips of bacon, some olive oil on top, and good to go.
Nice. Bacon's always good.
There you go.
Tell me some bacon, man. So what's your why? If you can define your why however you want to, it doesn't have to, you know, mean you're trying to go save the world of something. What do you feel like is your why or your purpose, if you feel like you even know it yet?
That's a really good question. And I actually really thought about this over the past weekend. I was home visiting for my 20th birthday. I was talking to my parents about this and my family. But for me, I imagine the world where individuals have the resources and the accountability to become the best versions of themselves.
Nice.
I say that because I think there's far too many people out there right now that don't take the responsibility to take life into their own hands. And they'll say things like, oh man, if only this didn't happen to me when I was younger, if only the economy was better, if only someone told me to major in something else, if only I did this, if only I did that. And that's about the accountability, right? And that's teachable. It's coachable, right? It's a mindset shift, being in full control of every aspect of your life. And then the resources, just like with the nurse practitioners, while the internet's great and all, it's also very noisy.
True.
And being able to give communities or groups of people or just individuals that level of support is critical. And it's exactly what was given to me.
And I completely agree. One thing that I talk about a lot on the podcast is authenticity. And I'm huge on that because I mentioned this, and I don't mention it to be negative toward people, but I always let them know, like, you know, 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs, 8 out of 10 small businesses or businesses, period, are going to fail. And what a lot of people need to realize is that, one, just because you fail the first time doesn't mean you should completely quit. Now, I know it's tough, and some people can say it's easier said than done, but at the same time, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you've been through it. I've been through it before. But people need to understand that although they see someone in a very successful position, they need to know about the challenges that they faced way before then. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, I mean, I know people personally that have been building a business for like 10, 12, 13 years. And they didn't get their big break until like that 10th or 12th or 13th year. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I like when you're talking about providing resources for, I look at it in the same way, maybe a different angle, but the platforms you're talking about, social media, it's extremely noisy. Like, I like Instagram and all of that for, you know, personal branding and whatnot. But the fact that I have no problem with people expressing what they have or whatnot, but I just love authenticity. I like for the most successful people to show, like, this was me in my vulnerable state. This was me in this position. This was me, you know, when you said that you quit your job and you went after something at the age of 23 and you failed. I don't love it because you failed. I love it because of the fact that you mentioned that, because there are a ton of 23-year-olds either still in college or fresh out of college or something like that, that are thinking that they can just go quit their job and then things are going to be A1, like things are going to be perfect, which I'm not saying it will or it won't, but look, expect anything to happen. Work hard as you can.
I mean, I'll say
at the same time,
when
something hits you in the mouth. Go ahead.
I know. I'll say it, man. It will not be that easy at 23. I don't care who you are, man. You can be well capitalized and you can raise a bunch of capital and have a team behind you, but it's still grueling. And every part of it's grueling.
That's true. I didn't start that early, man. I mean, I was like, what was that, 20, 25, 20, 26, somewhere around there when I started mine. And it was tough, dude. It was a struggle. Like I always tell people, I wasn't even paycheck to paycheck. Like, I don't even know how to describe what I was. Like, I was late on everything. So he said, they'll go ahead and say it. I mean, you would you definitely have the experience to know it best. I mean, it's part of it, man. I mean, you got to put in your time. You got to put in your work. It's like anything else in life. You're going to go through these challenges. You're going to face them. And that failure, you're either going to learn from it, which most people don't learn from it. You're going to learn from it, and you're going to move forward and go on to bigger and better things, or you're not going to learn from it, and then you're just going to go do what the most average person does and just sit back and regret that failure and not do anything about it.
Yeah. Right.
True. So,
or they won't try, and then they won't know.
Yeah, completely agree. So wrapping up the show, Krish, if you can let everyone know about your where they can contact you, find you at on social media and whatnot.
Guys, just Google my name. A lot of things will come up. I've written for a couple places. Mostly, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Krish Chopra 27, or just Krish Chopra. And check out our website to find some more content on me. You can find us at npclinicalrotations.com.
Nice. I love it. Krish, thanks so much for taking out the time to be on the show, man.
Yeah, boss. I appreciate it, man. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Inspire Daily Grind. As usual, I'm extremely grateful for you all's attention, the fact that you even listened to my podcast. Thanks so much. Definitely go and check me out on social media. It's at Daniel O. Griggs across all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So definitely go and check me out on all of those. I always follow back. Until then, I chat with y'all next week.